When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everybody, clear your throats, hydrate, stretch. I hope you're warmed up. You might want to just pause the video right now and do a couple jumping jacks, touch your toes, you know, make sure you're limbered up because it's time for another edition of I React to Your Hot Takes in my quest to make Reddit hate you as much as they hate me. So in this video, we'll go through some of your absolutely flaming hot takes. And I will react, tell you if I agree or not, and hopefully you will be the target of the next hate thread on Reddit. And also, I wanted to mention something new that I'm doing, which is a YouTube coaching program. If you're an individual creator or you're a company, really anybody that wants to grow on YouTube, this is for you. Basically, this is a way to download everything that I have learned about YouTube over the past 7 years from my brain into yours. There's a pretty common set of challenges that pretty much everybody runs into on YouTube. I've run into pretty much all of them. And with this coaching program, I can help you get past those a lot faster than I did figuring it out on my own. For example, in my opinion, the single most important thing for any channel is figuring out the right niche for your content. Like, what should you focus on and how do you talk about it? For example, for me on this channel, once I found that, I went from getting, you know, a couple hundred views a video to tens of thousands of views per video, literally almost overnight. You can see it right here. And also the right approach to things like titles and thumbnails and how to structure your videos to keep people's attention. All that stuff that took me years to figure out on my own through trial and error. I just want to help you speed run all of that. I am super excited about this, and I'm going to be putting a lot of time and energy into it over the course of the year. And if you want to find out more about it, you can just hit the link in the description of this video. Okay, the first one from our friend Morgoth Beats. He says the snare in Saint Anger is actually really sick, and Big Chocolate agrees. Well, let's listen to it, shall we? I feel like this is kind of a cold take. Now, I feel like everybody likes Saint Anger now, and I have some thoughts on that, but first, let's listen to it.
Welcome to San Quentin. In the unlikely event that you are taken hostage.
The snare is so ridiculous. Now, I gotta say, probably 99 times out of 100, I think, you know, when people complain on Reddit, like, oh, the drums on this album sound terrible, like, oh, the production ruined it for me, I can't stand how compressed it is, there's so much auto-tune, there's too many samples on the drums, the guitar tone is so flat and overly processed, the mixing ruined everything, I hate John Feldman, say, okay, time to change your diaper, you big baby. Is it really that big of a deal? No, it's not. 99 times out of 100, when people whine about this stuff, they're just whining. Now, with that being said, I gotta say, it's actually kind of true in this case. And I say this as someone, I am a known snare enjoyer. Okay, I'm a known ringy snare enjoyer. For example, one of my absolute favorite bands of all time is 311. Let's listen to the 311 snare. Love that cranked rim shot. Or on the gore grind side of things, Last Days of Humanity. There we go. Sounds great here. But with Metallica, I'm not so sure it does work. So I think this is a very, very, very rare case in which the drum sound actually kind of does ruin the song and ruin the album. You know, I love a ringy snare, but this one was just so distracting that for a band like Metallica, I just can't believe it. It says a lot about like how many yes men there were in the room that nobody involved with this was like, guys, you can't put this fucking album out. Listen to that goddamn snare drum. You can't fucking put this out. This is crazy. What's wrong with you? I think it would sound great for a slam band, but this is not slam. This is rock. And I think this is a good example of what I've talked about before of the 10-year rule, meaning that give or take a few years, within 10 years, literally anything that people hated within 10 or so years will become loved. For example, you remember how everyone said Bring the Horizon was gay? Now everyone loves them. Everybody said Suicide Silence was gay? Now everyone loves them. Everybody hated Limp Bizkit? Now everybody loves them. You know, Limp Bizkit, it took more like 15, almost 20 years for people to start liking them. Saint Anger, I think, is about 20 years old now too. It took a little while. So things that are like really, really, really hated, I think take longer, but it's just a good example of like, literally anything will become liked. Do people like Macklemore yet? I think they kind of do. Again, I absolutely guarantee you that in 10 or 15 years, people will love MGK. I guarantee it. I've seen this happen so many times in every genre. Like, there are no exceptions to this. People love Creed and Nickelback now. Like, whatever people hated when they were teenagers, in 10 or 15 years, everyone's going to love it. I guarantee it. So I do not think this is a hot take. I think this is kind of the accepted opinion now. I don't think I agree with it, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Next up from Scott. He says, metalcore in general has a very recycled sound. Not so much evolution, just hardcore and metal, but down-tuning Hatebreed style riffs with MIDI blez. Oh, and Lorna Shore will go experimental sooner than later. That might be true about Lorna Shore. Now, as far as metalcore being recycled, I completely agree with that. I feel bad for picking on this band all the time, but I'll use them as an example. This band, Invent Animate, is an example.
It's time to take your body care routine to the next level. Introducing Osea's bestseller body care set, the perfect companion for your summer travels. This four-piece kit transforms dry skin to silky, soft, and glowing. It features travel sizes of Osea's best-selling Undaria Algae Body Oil and Body Butter, clinically proven to improve skin elasticity, along with their anti-aging body balm and Salts of the Earth body scrub. And to top it off, it's packed in a vegan leather bag, making it a must-have for all your summer adventures. Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat yourself to glowing, healthy skin this summer with clean, vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Right now, you can get the best sellers body care set valued at $78 for 33% off. Use code SUMMER to save an additional 10%. That's an additional 10% off at oceamalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Hello out there!
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!
Example of what people on Reddit hold up as like the future of the genre. This is what people think is like amazing and great. Like, you play Invent Animate, and average Redditor's reaction to Invent Animate right here. Like, really? This is what you people think is amazing and great? I mean, if you like it, that's cool, but I don't think there's anything here that is moving the genre forward in any way whatsoever or particularly interesting in any way. The place that metalcore is at right now is the exact same place that crabcore was in, say, 2013. You remember that? Like, after crabcore had been out for like 5 years, they just ran that shit into the fucking ground. By 2013, it was like there were still crabcore bands coming out that sounded like Asking Alexandria from like 4 years ago. And you're like, why? Why are you still doing this? The world needs another generic crabcore band. Like, it needs a goddamn hole in the head. Why are you people still doing this? I feel like we're at that same point now with the current metalcore sound, which is, you know, some combination of Meshuggah, Linkin Park, and Slipknot, basically. Like the drunk guy who won't pass out. Exactly. You're like, Jesus Christ, how many drinks has this motherfucker had? And he just still keeps waking up. He won't stop telling us his fucking dumb stories. Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is true. It happened in new wave grunge, new metal, trap, chipmunk rap, etc. Everything gets played out. It's true. But I feel like metalcore just will not die. This version of metalcore, and I, you know, it'll be replaced by something else, I'm sure. But oh my God, I completely agree. Like, this particular flavor of metalcore is so fucking played out, and it just really, really, really needs to go away. But, you know, it's also possible that this will be the final evolution of metalcore, because every genre gets frozen in time at some point, right? Like, punk hasn't really sounded any different since the 90s, right? Ska hasn't really sounded any different since the 80s or 90s. You know, these genres do kind of get frozen in time. Like, basically, the only kind of music, the only genre that continues to evolve is pop, because pop isn't really a genre. It's just sort of a market for music. Like, pop is just whatever is popular, so it doesn't actually have a sound. But other than that, every genre just kind of gets stuck in time at some point or another. I agree with this. It happens when new bands are only inspired by other metalcore bands. Metalcore bands in the early 2000s had a huge range of influences. Kids these days just cite other modern metalcore bands. Yeah, it's like, oh, well, we listen to anything from Era to Invent Animate. And you're like, oh, Jesus. Well, no wonder your band has no fucking new ideas. So, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with, you know, the fact that metalcore is completely stale and burned out, and it just badly, badly, badly needs a reboot. We need J.J. Abrams to come in here and reboot this bitch. Give it a woke reboot with a female main character that everyone hates, so the critical drinker and the quartering can go make video after video after video about how awful it is and how enraged they are that it exists. That's my take. We got to give it a woke reboot. Like the Ghostbusters remake. That's what we need. That, but for metalcore. Next up, from Alicia McGuire. TikTok has made concerts horrible to attend for longtime metal fans. Newer fans are toxic or don't understand the rules of pits, mosh pits, and this leads to bands ending concerts early or not performing certain songs. Recent example was the Bad Omens tour. I cannot really comment on this. I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say about this. I can't really say, because when I go to shows, I don't, you know, I'm not in the pit these days, so I don't really know what they're like these days. You tell me if you think I'm wrong about this, but my guess is that, you know, yeah, this has been happening more than I remember. Well, I feel like this sort of dynamic of people saying that, you know, fill in the blank is ruining shows because the new fans don't understand how you're supposed to act. I feel like that's been happening for as long as I can remember in different ways. Like back in the 90s, it was like, oh, MTV is ruining shows because people who just watch, you know, Headbangers Ball or whatever, you know, they go to shows and they, you know, just push mosh and they don't understand how things are supposed to be. Well, that's probably true. But, you know, if they stick around, I mean, this looks the same as any other show to me. If they stick around, they learn how you're supposed to act, or they stop going to shows. Either way. And then it was Hot Topic, you know, all these Hot Topic kids going to, you know, shows and people don't know how to act and rah, rah, rah. I feel like there's always some new gateway through which new fans show up to the, come into the scene. And yeah, I mean, they probably don't know how to act. When I started going to shows when I was 13, I didn't know how to act. You know what I mean? I'm sure I was a annoying little fucking dork when I was 13, just like everyone was. I mean, like, does anybody go to a show and, you know, their first show when they're 14 years old or something, they know how to act and they're, you know, they're cool. And, you know, as long as they're not hurting anyone, that's the issue. Like, you know, if it was people going to, like, I don't know, whatever, an Olivia Rodrigo show and punching people, well, that's a problem. Definitely. That's a big problem. But I don't think that's happening. I could be wrong, but I think it's more just like, you know, it's people discover Bad Omens through TikTok or something, and they might get mad because somebody, you know, moshes on them or whatever. I feel like that's what happens with these new fans. It's more like they're upset because things are too rough or something like that. Now, you tell me if I'm wrong about that. I don't know. Because again, when I go to shows now, I'm not up there in the pit. You know, usually I just go say hi to my friends and then leave. So I could be wrong. This is true too. Anytime it happens, you'll have four rock sites talking about it, Loudwire, Metal Sucks, etc. It wasn't like that 10 or 15 years ago, just more eyes on it. I think that's true too. This kind of thing was always happening. It's just now, because of TikTok and, you know, the media and stuff, when weird shit does happen, then you see it more. So I don't know. That's my take on it. But again, I may be wrong about that. So you tell me if there's something, you know, uniquely different about this time. But it feels to me like this is just the new version of the same thing that I've been hearing, you know, since I was 14 years old, of like, oh, you know, the new kids don't know how to act. Next one from Brupact says, Green Day has only one great album, and that's Dookie. Besides that, their discography is mid AF. This is one that I definitely do not agree with. I do think that Dookie is an absolute masterpiece. It is a legendary, God-tier, 10 out of 10 album. Completely agree with that part. But I do not agree with them only having one good album. I think Kerplunk is also great. Not as good as Dookie, but I think it's very good. American Idiot is, I would say, as good as Dookie. Personally, I like Dookie better, but I think objectively, American Idiot is just as good as Dookie. And there are people, you know, I don't really like Warning and Insomniac that much, or Nimrod. I don't like those as much, but I think they're perfectly good albums. The newer stuff, you know, like Uno, Dos, Tres, and whatever the fucking, you know, the one that they did the cringe billboard for, the pure uncut rock, no Swedish trap beats or whatever. That one was terrible. But yeah, I mean, I don't agree with that at all. I think, yeah, 1039 Sloppy Hours was also good. I think so too. Father of All. Oh God, Father of All was awful. Yeah, we got to see that. The Green Day billboard. Oh my God, this was brutal. No features, no Swedish songwriters, no trap beats, 100% pure uncut rock. I got to put on my DJ voice then. All right, everybody, coming up next, we got Green Day, 100% pure uncut rock, coming up next on KISW 99.9 FM, your home of the rock. Like, when did they become that boomer? Yeah, 100% uncircumcised rock. Yeah, so, I mean, I do think it's fair to say that Green Day, you know, like any other band, again, they started in what, 1986 or something? They've been a band for 35 years. So yeah, I mean, of course they're going to have some ups and downs. And I think it's fair to say that they're definitely past their prime. But I don't agree, you know, that Dookie is their only good album. That feels like a little bit of a contrarian take to me. Even if you only think that Dookie and American Idiot are good, I mean, those are both like all-time classics, right? From, you know, 10 years apart, to write off American Idiot, to me, sounds like kind of that's a crazy person take, in my opinion. Sorry, Broad Pact. I'm not on board with your hot take. Next one from Dude with Six Cats. Adidas clothes have always been tacky and ugly. Decent shoes, bad everything else. Okay, well, the first thing that you need to know is that Korn and Adidas are back together, people. They're back, just announced today that they're back. Let's see what it is. Can I get a purple sequin tracksuit finally?
We were obsessed with gangster rap so much, and a lot of these guys would wear sportswear, and that had major influence on us. Time in the 90s, we had a
song
saying that Adidas stood for All Day Dreaming About Sex. Adidas, like, no, we're not going to do anything with you. That's why
that
I took
dumb.
It upon myself to start customizing and doing this stuff. So I made Adidas kilt, I made Adidas sparkly tracksuits. Come on, we were so against fucking everything.
Here's the thing about Adidas, okay? Here's the thing! There's someone out there right now watching this video that's going to start awkwardly tugging at their collar. There's somebody out there, I've talked about this person before, who's the poster child for second place. He's got his Adidas shoes on, watching this video on his Android phone, waiting for the new game to download on his Xbox, drinking a Pepsi, eats at Burger King. You know, this guy's just into being into being second best. You know, hey, listen, Pepsi's okay. Xbox is okay. Android, I mean, look, I was going to say Android's okay. That feels a little bit much to me, but at least Android isn't BlackBerry. So there is that. Yeah, I mean, Adidas is poverty. There's no question about it. But at least it's not Reebok or, you know, Under Armour or Puma, right? You know, you might feel bad eating Burger King and browsing Reddit on your Android phone, but you say, hey, at least I'm not eating at Jack in the Box. At least my console of choice isn't the Wii U. It could be worse. So yeah, that's my take on Adidas. Just play it safe. This is my advice for everybody. Just play it safe. Buy an iPhone, buy a MacBook, wear Nike, drink Coke, play for the winning team. It's why would you ever want to be on the losing team? That's all I'm saying. Why? Why would you want to be on the losing team? Next up, from Chase Michael. I have a question here. First of all, is your first name Chase and your second name is Michael? If so, I have a rule that you can't trust any man with two first names. Like if his name is like Chris John or, you know, Michael Steven or something, you know, it's just, it's weird. If you got two first names, that's weird. The flip side of that is, what if Michael is his middle name? You know, maybe his last name is actually Jones. So his real name is Chase Jones, but he goes by Chase Michael. Well, that's weird too, because in that case, like the girls that go by their middle name, like April Nicole or Kayla Michelle or something like that, girls that go by their first name and middle name 100% of the time are thoughts, right? Like TikTok thoughts. It's only like hot girls that do this, right? Yeah, Brittany Ann, exactly. It is exclusively thoughts that do this. There are no exceptions to this. Chase, those are my thoughts on your name. If you have two first names, that's weird, but you can't help it. But if you go by your first name and your middle name, that's more weird because it makes you sound like a thought. Anyway, his hot take is AC/DC might be one of the worst bands I've ever listened to. Not a redeeming quality about them. Sleeping with Sirens could write Back in Black, but AC/DC couldn't write James Dean and Aubrey Hepburn. So I assume you're somewhat trolling about this, but a lot of people do talk shit about AC/DC, and I don't know if I agree. AC/DC, you know, that's not a band that I have like ever voluntarily chosen to listen to. But I don't know, are they really that bad? Like Back in Black, this is a great song. It's a great song. It's very boomerish, but as far as boomer rock goes, it's a great song. God, look how tiny he is. It looks like he's playing a stand-up bass. Like, is he literally like 4 feet tall? Or is he playing a giant guitar? I kind of hope that it's a giant guitar. That would be cool. Like, if you were his roadie and his guitar is like, you know, 6 feet tall, I think that'd be cool. Now, here's my issue with AC/DC is the headwear. These hats here, you know my feelings on these. If you wear hats like this, you definitely listen to Dropkick Murphys. There are no exceptions to this. And if you don't now, it's like, you know, in an RPG, how there's like sometimes there'll be like a pair of gloves that have like really high stats and you put them on and then you find out that they're cursed. And the problem with the gloves is, yeah, they have really high stats, but they also make you like super vulnerable to one type of spell and you can't take them off unless you do this like really long, convoluted, you know, quest line. I feel like that's what is going to happen with one of these hats. You put it on and all of a sudden you start listening to Dropkick Murphys. You can't help it. You're like, the hat won't come off and my hands are typing Dropkick Murphys in the Spotify search bar. What's happening to me? No! I don't know. I feel like hating on AC/DC to me is like kind of, it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of a trendy take now. Like people hate on the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and stuff. And like, I get it. It's annoying that people like slob the Beatles dicks, you know, for the past fucking 60 years or whatever. And everyone says the Beatles are like the greatest gift to, you know, fucking music and blah, blah, blah. But the Beatles are not bad. I wouldn't choose to listen to them necessarily, but you can't say the Beatles suck. You know what I mean? Even if you don't like them, you can't say the Beatles suck. And same with AC/DC. Like, would I choose to listen to this? I don't know. Not necessarily. But, you know, if they play it at a basketball game, at your little sister's basketball game, that's not so bad, right? I mean, how can you hate this? It's a great song. I don't know. I think if you were to say that AC/DC is overrated or boring, I'd say that's fair. But to say that AC/DC is one of the worst bands you've ever listened to, I feel like that's a bit much. Come on, people. Come on. Next one from Gail Surge. Scene Queen with Bimbo Core and the new generation of artists like Paris, or as others call them, Perverus, Mothica, Cassette, Dana Dentata, Delilah Bond, Mimi Barks, Kids Brunswick are going to be the next big thing rock in overly in music. I know who about half of these people are. Paris is not really a new generation. Paris has been around for 10 years, so I definitely don't think Paris is going to be the next big thing. Mimi Barks, I like. Scene Queen is probably the biggest name on this list. And if you're not familiar, this is Scene Queen. So-called bimbo core. Make it stop. Yeah, I agree with that. I wanted to like Scene Queen, but I couldn't. That's how I feel too. I really wanted to like this because, you know, I get it, but it's kind of like the metal version of Meghan Trainor to me. Too millennial, yeah. That's, ooh, man, that's rough. Calling something boomer has been sort of the go-to drag for the last couple years, but I feel like in the immediate future, calling something millennial is going to be the new way of basically saying that something is cringe and out of touch, because millennials have really taken the place of boomers as, you know, the generation of cringe. I don't think Scene Queen is cringe necessarily, but it's a little bit too much like an SNL skit or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like trying a little bit too hard, I think. Now, I never thought I would say this, but like to me, Butcher Babies does the same thing, but better. And Butcher Babies are not good. You know, if someone is saying that Butcher Babies are doing it better than you, that's a problem. I see where these other artists are going, you know, like Scene Queen and stuff. I see where they're going. I get it. But I don't know. I feel like if it was going to happen by now, it would have. I feel like as far as sort of, oh, if you want to say like, you know, feisty, you know, pro girl alternative music or whatever, I don't think it's going to be Scene Queen. I think it's going to be any number of these people like Megan Lindemann or Lolo or something like that, that is not trying so hard to be like a spunky girl. It's just like girls who happen to make good music. You know what I mean? I think someone like Maggie Lindemann has more of a future than any of the stuff that this person mentioned. I do like Mimi Barks quite a bit. But yeah, I think if it was going to happen for any of these artists, I think it would have happened by now. But that is my opinion on your hot takes. Join me next time for more controversial opinions where hopefully you guys will get yourself canceled. And that does it for this one. Like the Ghostbusters remake. That's what we need. That, but for metalcore.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freites from The Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.